Pat and I are praying that the weather prediction that's being made now for Sunday will hold, because it has temperatures in the mid-90s. I guess I better check where that report's from. No, it's got it in the mid-20s, and so that will make it much more bearable. All right, Colossians chapter 3. I've got several scriptures I'm going to be looking at. If you can't find them as quickly as I, just make note of them. If you find them quicker than I, good for you. Colossians 3 and 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What we do, do all. That means when you're doing the dishes, when you're vacuuming, don't be grumbling about it. Do it in the name of Jesus. That means when you're changing the oil in the car, when you're fixing a flat tire, do what the Bible says. Not what so many of us do and grumble about it. Do it all in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, one of the very first Bible verses that I memorized. You say, well, if you memorized it, why are you looking for it? I want to be sure I got it right, okay? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we're going to be saved, it must be by the name of Jesus. And my, I've got a wonderful, true testimony about what the name of Jesus can do for salvation. But one more, you're in the book of Acts, look at chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 1 to 11, it's about a lame man that was carried to the gates of the temple, and he would lay there at the gate of the temple. And in verse 11, it says, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So the lame man was healed. The people saw what was taking place. They gathered around, wondering about it. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this healing? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Oh, guess Peter and John knew that some of the people standing there wondering about this healing were some of the people that were there and cried out for Barabbas to be released. And then what shall I do with this man called Jesus? Crucify him! I think Peter and John, perhaps by the insight of the Holy Spirit, knew that some of those standing there listening to him were there in that other occasion.
Yeah, I believe it. That's good.
But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Jesus is called the Holy One and the Just One. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Here it is, verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. You know this lame man. You know who he is. You know how long he lay there. And it's Jesus, the one you called to be crucified. It's this Jesus who healed him. It was in the name of Jesus. Wow, that had to be powerful. Not just by their words, but by the power of the Spirit behind their words, proclaiming the name of Jesus. I want to read to you what I read in a devotional that I use. I have several devotionals that I use. I'll use one for quite a while, and then I'll switch to another one. Okay, and this particular one, the title of this, and this comes, by the way, it's adapted from Countdown to Paradise, written by a Bob McAllister, who was a volunteer with Chuck Colson's Prison Fellowship. Now, this was written in the Prison Fellowship monthly paper back in July of 1990. Okay, so it was written quite a while ago. I don't remember when the devotional I'm using was published, but let me read it to you. Prison Fellowship volunteer Bob McAllister found Rusty Roomer sitting in his cell motionless, chalk colored in face, dozens of roaches crawling over him. Bob tried talking with him on previous occasions, but the prisoner was unresponsive. This time, one last time that he tried, Bob said, "Rusty, just say the word Jesus." And with much effort, Rusty formed his lips together, and it was only a whisper, "Jesus." And when Bob asked Rusty if he wanted to trust Christ as Savior, tears came to Rusty's eyes, and he nodded an affirmative. How many chapel sessions had he been sitting in where he heard Jesus preached? We don't know. Back before his present condition, did he read his scripture? The little devotional doesn't say that. Perhaps it would be in the more complete listing. But nevertheless, Jesus. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to trust Jesus? And he nodded his head yes. The following Monday, Bob went around as usual, and he was stunned by the difference. Rusty's cell was spotless. Roaches and dirt were gone. And so was the pornography. Rusty said to Bob, "I spent all weekend cleaning my cell, 'cause I figured that's what Jesus wanted me to do."
I like it.
Yeah. For 4 years, the men enjoyed a deepening friendship. They studied the scriptures, they prayed together, and talked together. Finally, Rusty's appeals were all denied, and his execution from death row now became certain. On Rusty's last day on earth, he said an emotional goodbye to his father, sisters, and brother. Everyone was ushered out, and the two friends sat in quiet, somber fellowship, waiting for the end. As Rusty's head and right leg were shaved, he said to Bob, "Read me the Bible one last time." Bob wrote, "I opened my Bible to Revelation chapter 21, and I read, 'And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death.' And a clump of Rusty's hair fell on my lap, another on my Bible. I looked up, and with half-shaven head, Rusty was smiling. A most peaceful smile, more peaceful than I have ever seen on another human being. At 12:55 a.m., they came for Rusty. After reading him the death warrant, Warden George Martin said, 'Are you ready?' 'Let's go,' Rusty replied. I followed Rusty to the death chamber, and my final words to him were, "Rusty, look to Jesus." Rusty was strapped into the chair and a leather helmet attached to his head. I heard his last words, "I'm sorry. I claim Jesus as my Savior. My only wish is that everyone in the world could feel the love I have felt from him." 5 minutes later, Rusty was in the presence of that Lord.
Amen.
The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has power to change a man. At that point, all he could do was whisper the name Jesus. My understanding of that is that God knew the desperation of this man's heart in even just uttering Jesus. The name of Jesus gives us our identity. It's in Acts 11 and verse 26 where we're told that the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. And we are expected to live like Christ. Christians. It's not just a title like Jewish or Muslim or any of the other religions of the world. It means one like Jesus. Jesus is the name above every other name. Philippians chapter 2 and verse Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Father gave him that name. Jesus, Savior. Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. A name above all other names. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby people can in any way be saved. And we must call on the name of Jesus to be saved. And whatever the desperation of the heart may be, whatever the condition of the life may be, when we call on the name Jesus, he'll hear us.
Amen.
Prayer is answered through his name. In the gospel according to John chapter 16, you're familiar with the words, but let me read them to you. John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And we understand from the fuller teaching of Scripture that it isn't simply that we can say, "Jesus, give me this. Jesus, give me that." We understand what it means to ask in the name of Jesus, to be in the fellowship with Jesus, to be praying according to God's will. And we understand that when we're praying for other people, God is not willing that any should perish, but God will not force himself on others any more than he forced himself on you.
Absolutely.
Who may have been praying for you over and over again and could not understand why you would not get saved? But God kept hearing their prayer, and he kept working on your stony heart and stiffened neck until eventually he got you to the place where you would yield. And in that, he answered their prayer. Our enemy, Satan, and his legions understand the name of Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 8. The first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28 is where I'll begin. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. People avoided that because of the evil and wickedness of these two men. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" They knew that in time they would be cast by him into the depths of the pit of hell. But they were enjoying their freedom, their control over these two men. And Satan's legions know who Jesus is. When they saw Jesus and when they heard Jesus, and we remember that in a comparable story, Jesus healed a man that could not be even bound by chains. And he was naked too. And the next time they saw him, he was clothed and in his right mind. Why? Because the name of Jesus changes people. Now there's qualifications to using the name of Jesus. You must be born again. You must be saved. It is more is required than simply forming one's lips and using the mouth to pronounce the name Jesus. We see that in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19. So when we are told these things can be done in the name of Jesus, not just anybody can pronounce something, even something good, and claim it in the name of Jesus. That person must be born again. They must be saved, and you read it and check it out enough, they've got to be living obediently and godly in order to be able to claim and use the name of Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 19, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. Now, here some time ago, there was a big movie out, and everybody was all excited about the exorcists. And people were going to exorcisms, okay? And the Roman Catholic Church has some priests who are supposed to be exorcists and so on. Well, here was a Jewish vagabond Jew who was an exorcist. So it's not new, okay? Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. So here we got Sceva, he's a Jew, and he's one of seven sons, and he was endeavoring to use the name Jesus. And here's what the evil spirit said. Verse 15. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. He was so strong, he overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded because of the damage that this devil-possessed man did to them. But do you see what it was? The evil spirit said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but I don't know you. And so just because somebody claims to use the name of Jesus and perform some great deed,
that's right.
Okay,
yep.
The devils aren't fooled by it.
That's right.
But a lot of times Christians are.
Yep.
I don't know how often I've heard people say, well, it must be real. They must be true because they use the name Jesus. Maybe so, but you got to check it out by the book. Check it out by the book. And so there's qualifications to use the name of Jesus. Now I end with this. According to the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, there are 103 names and titles for Jesus Christ. Now, I say according to the Thompson Chain Reference Bible because in the back, you can look at it where it says names Christ, and you can count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 25, 1, 2, 3, 4, 25 more, and there's 103 of them there. I would not doubt that there are other lists in which an individual may have a different number. In other words, there's a lot of names and titles for Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. The Jesus that saved you if you are born again. The Jesus that lives in you if you've gotten saved. That Jesus is the Jesus whom we worship. And it's the Jesus to whom we are going to go and pray now.
Amen.
The men will go in the back room as usual. The ladies will stay here. Let's intercede on behalf of the needs of others in the name of Jesus.